to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flixster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
Yeah, it sure is. This is where we send one of our Flixsters off to see a movie and they get to come on and review it for us, Mr. Lee. So that's how we like to roll around here.
We don't send nobody. We send someone who's really good. They love movies. So, but it's not a nobody, is it? There's someone that enjoys movies. I'm trying to do a segue. Is it working?
It sounds like you think I'm underselling our product, Mr. Lee. Like you're jumping in there. No, it's not just anyone.
It's trying to be a really good segue into what we're actually going to be talking about today. What our Talking Flixster is going to see.
Oh, jeez. Oh, hold on. I've got to.
Are you with this?
There you go. Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm a bit slow today. But it is Nobody 2. This new movie that has dropped. What are your thoughts on this one? You like the look of this?
Well, look, I love the first one. I thought the first one was so well done. Bob Odenkirk, he did so well. And knowing it was kind of true that something happened to his house, someone broke into it, and now knowing that they're doing something else, I can't wait to watch it.
I'm loving the action scenes in this one. The trailer looks awesome. Let's have a listen.
What's up, guys? I'm not going to fight you. I'm here on vacation.
No. Come on. Use your words.
Now no one gets the pole.
This is supposed to be a tourist.
Where don't you know? Where don't you know?
Who is this nobody?
Take him out.
Hey!
They're coming after our family. Go fix it.
So help us.
Just another master's vacation.
Let's do this. Nobody
but me. I just want a break.
Who sent you?
His better half.
I'm here with my family. Making memories. With nobody but me.
Hutch, after this vacation, we need a vacation.
Oh, look at that. We have got a very special somebody today to join us to talk about Nobody 2. We've got the one and the only Zane. Hey, Zane.
Hello, g'day.
Oh, Zane, welcome back to Talking Flicks. It's good to have you back, mate. It's always nice when someone returns because it means they had a good time last time. And you're becoming a bit seasoned now, aren't you?
Absolutely. You're like my favourite duo.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
what are you doing next week and the week after and the week after that? What are you doing?
I don't think we've never had such a nice compliment on this show, not just on the podcast, Mr. Lee, but 7 years of radio. That's,
this is very special. Maybe, I hope we've recorded that because we need to play that back over and over again.
Mr. Lee, I have. We will be listening to that again after every show before we start. We're going to be listening to Zane with that compliment because that is wonderful. Excellent. But, mate, great to have you back on. And now, this is a movie that you were really itching to go and see, weren't you? Nobody 2. What attracted you to this movie? What did you like about it?
Oh, such a fun genre of film. The first one was awesome. And it's in that style or genre of John Wick, but it's like a little more lighthearted. And the action sequences never get old. It's like the classic cinema popcorn flick.
That's what I loved about the first one as well, because there was a little bit of that dark humor that you just go, yeah. And in the trailer that we just heard, you could hear some of that dark comedy that was happening. And I have to say, I cannot wait to watch it. It's so good. Now, tell me, what do you think of Bob's performance in this compared? Because he actually trained for quite a few months to get back into fitness because it's such a very fitness-driven movie. He's doing a lot of action stunts.
Oh, he was so good. Bob's never disappointed. I mean, Mr. Better Call Saul, you know, he's an absolute gem to watch on screen.
And some of the action scenes, I think, is what really stands out to me when I look at the trailer for this particular movie. That scene where he's on the boat on the river and he just goes to town. Like, it's just, I don't know, to me, I look at that and go, yeah, like, that had me hooked from the get-go.
Yeah, absolutely. The comedic element to the action sequences are what make it so good. It's kind of like, you know, like a Tarantino film. It's like over the top, but not too serious at the same time.
Yeah, I have noticed that there is this word we're hearing a lot about some of these movies. They're classing it as over the top. So just for those that people that are new and listening, when you say over the top, what? Just describe it a bit more for us.
It's it doesn't feel grounded or serious. It's probably not something you would see in like a film like, I don't know, The Hurt Locker or Warfare. It's more for entertainment value, like something you'd see in Die Hard or John Wick even.
Yeah.
It's eye candy, let's say.
So tell me, you've obviously enjoyed the first one. The first one was set in his house. This one, he's taking the family on vacation. Was there much difference? Like, there was still, as you said, there was a lot of action and all that, but there was still a lot of that hole from the first one in this one as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's still got that kind of grounded approach in the story. It kind of takes the stakes up a notch because the threat level is a little bit higher, but it still captures the same level of entertainment.
Which is a great idea that they've still captured that whole thing, because the first one he was protecting his family. This one we know he's protecting the family as well, so it's still in that same, which is really good. Now we've got some new people in this movie. We've got Sharon Stone, we've got Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son, and John Ortiz. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Ortiz.
Ortiz, thank
Ortiz.
You.
Ortiz.
I have the most difficult time saying those. Anyway, how were they, especially Sharon Stone, because I haven't seen her for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it's been ages, and she looks great in this movie. She's a little bit over the top too, because she plays a very bad villain, doesn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. She plays the erratic, deranged crime boss, but she does it quite well. She does the dark side pretty uniquely, but still entertaining.
Now tell me, what about Colin Hanks? Because he plays the sheriff, and they actually go to a town that is very corrupt, and all the police, everyone's in on this whole thing.
Plumerville, isn't it? Is it Plumerville? That's the
name of the town?
Yeah, yeah. Bit of a shady one, I think.
Yeah, your classic rural American town with corrupt officials and gangs and what. Classic setting for a movie.
They always seem to work, those sort of things, don't they, those towns?
Oh, they're always a playground for entertainment, I think, especially for action.
Not sure about a holiday place to go, though, a holiday as destination, but anyway, it's great for the action.
Yeah, it works out for the movie. Luckily, it's not real life for us.
Yeah. Now, I was just saying before, Colin Hanks, how did he go? Because he usually plays dramas. Like, I haven't actually seen him in this type of role before, playing, you know, a bad type person. Do you think it suits him?
Oh, absolutely. He was great as a villain. Nailed the corrupt sheriff.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, they do cast these people and you really question whether it's the right person to play that role until you actually see it. Then you go, yeah, it was. So that's good to hear.
No, it was pretty awesome to see him in that role. You know an actor's doing a good job when you can't stand them.
So, Zane, what action sequences or scenes stood out to you the most, and how do they work into the context of the story? What did you enjoy the most? What stood out to you?
I think the best action sequence was the boat fight scene. Boat fight scene and the arcade scene where the main character, Hutch, kind of loses his mind and takes it out on the staff.
Oh.
I think no spoilers, but it kind of shows what makes him such a good character and what makes Dad so cool.
Yeah. But doesn't his wife say, come on, Hutch, no, come on, don't do it?
Yeah, she does, but, you know, dads can't let any disrespect to
her. Yeah. And what does his kids think? You know, does his kids go, oh, wow, dad's actually pretty cool? Because usually kids think their dads aren't that cool.
I think the daughter's a little embarrassed, as most of them are of their dads, but the son thinks his dad's pretty legendary for standing up for the kids and himself, which is a great message to send, I think.
Mm. And well, critics are calling this one the perfect action film. Do you think the label fits, or do you think that maybe they're overselling the movie a bit?
Well, perfect is it's a strong term to use, I think, especially in the creative arts, but it's hard to fault this film, let's say. It ticks all the boxes, and for an action film that is on the lighter side, a little bit comedic, I think it does it very well.
Do you need to, because obviously it's a sequel, do you need to see the original Nobody before watching Nobody 2, or do you think that anybody could just go along and kind of catch on to what they've missed from the first film?
I think you should be able to catch on pretty quickly, but the first film will definitely provide some necessary context into the main character's backstory, but you should be able to pick it up very quickly from the first 10 minutes of the film.
Well, it would set up a family, wouldn't it? Because Becca, Connie Nielsen's back, obviously Becca being his wife and the kids and whatnot. So, yeah, no, it does make a bit more sense there before you start bringing in those Sharon Stone and Colin Hanks type characters. So, yeah, I think that would be quite important for character building, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. But luckily the film kind of begins with an insight into his work life as well as his family life. So it kind of explains it a little bit and sets it up nicely.
Which is another good thing that they do because, yeah, I was one of my things too was whether you'd actually had to see the first one, which I have, but then because I've had some people come to the cinema and go, oh, you know, do I need to see the first one? And I said, oh, usually you do, but I don't think because this is a new destination. It's not in the house. You just don't know why he does what he does. So, yeah. And did you know that it's actually Timu? He was the director. Timo, I think he's a Indonesian director. It's his first American movie that he's actually directed. So he might go a long way if the critics are loving it and the audiences. So hopefully he does.
Yeah, very cool. Respect to that.
I think the producer as well, I think, was behind John Wick. So, you know, you can kind of see why you're seeing a lot of those kinds of scenes. Because it is, isn't it, when you look at it, it's not as clean as a John Wick type film or a Die Hard, but you're still getting, yeah, whereas John Wick, I guess, isn't probably as much dark comedy as what you're getting in this film. But, yeah, definitely as far as, like, you know, the fight scenes are concerned. Is there much blowing up and things like that, explosions and gunfights and things like that? Or is it more just, you know,
it's not quite over top like that. There's probably, I think, two moments where there's a big explosion, but it's not mind numbing to the point it's like, whoa, there's another explosion.
Hmm. Because sometimes it does get a little bit over the top, doesn't it?
There is a couple moments where it is a big explosion, but nothing that feels unnecessary, let's say. It's relevant or serves a purpose.
I think sometimes action and potentially thriller and horror films, just getting that balance right of how they incorporate comedy. Because if you put too much comedy in, I personally think as a person who loves the action genre, it would wreck it because you kind of want some of those more serious moments, don't you?
Absolutely. I think too much comedy kind of dilutes the action a little bit and takes away from whatever serious moments there are because then the film kind of feels conflicted in its identity. But if it's done just right, I think it makes the film all the more better.
Which is what it sounds like they've done. They've actually made sure there's not too much comedy in it and there's a lot more action. So, and I reckon because Bob is the one who started all this franchise off, he would make sure it is very true to what the original would be like. So good on him for doing that too. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They've struck a really nice balance with this one, as they did with the original.
Now, we've got a Nobody 2. Could there be a Nobody 3? We don't know how the ending all pads out, but is there room for another movie in the sequel?
You never know. Serious. I don't want to say yes or no. Sometimes you think there's no room for a sequel, and then out of nowhere comes a sequel. But I think it could expand as a universe, but whether or not it needs a sequel, I think I'll let people decide if they think that.
Well, I guess it'll
I think the main character could return as like in a cameo format, not necessarily main character.
And whether Bob would be able to do it for his fitness level as well, which should be another thing. But you could do something. I reckon they could do a number three because they could go into, I don't know, a bank or something or a building just like Die Hard and make it that type of style. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the son could take on a more main role.
Yeah, follow in his father's footsteps, I suppose. They could do that. So, and then he would then take over the franchise. So his dad could be just in the background and guiding him, one would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much blood and gore in this one, Zane? Like, is it, you know, I would imagine with all the fight scenes that there'd be a few broken noses.
There's a bit of bloodshed, but in terms of actual gore, it is not too much. So if you have a hard time stomaching that kind of stuff, then you'll be okay.
Well, what kind of audience do you see coming along to see this film? Who do you think it would suit?
If you've seen the first film and you're a fan of that, definitely that crowd. If you're a fan of a Hollywood action classic, you know, in that John Wick era genre, then you should enjoy this one quite a lot.
Oh, wow. So I need to get into the cinema and watch this movie because, yeah. And I think it's a big screen movie too because there's so much. When I've seen the trailer, I've gone, yeah, there's a lot happening. You need to see it on the big screen to understand fully. And I saw the first one on the cinema screen, so this one I'll have to.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect film to kind of shut out the outside world, grab some popcorn and just get lost in it, really.
In that Dolby surround sound, right? That's
makes the action seem that much
better. Yeah. So, what's your go-to cinema snack?
Oh, it has to be popcorn. Easy.
Salty goodness.
Or caramel. Either one. They're good.
Caramel popcorn hits different.
Yeah, it does.
Especially if it's made fresh. Oof.
Yeah. Well, we make fresh every day. Actually, yeah, every day we're making popcorn. Anyway, we're at that time now of the podcast, Zane. I've got that very important question to ask. I'm just going to head over to the freezer and open that up. Oh, God, it sounds the same every week. I've got 5 Chop Tops. How many Chop Tops are you going to give Nobody 2, please?
We're going to give it a solid 4.
Oh. I like that.
That's awesome.
Very good, yeah. So close to a 5. What would have given it a 5, Zane, out of curiosity? What would have given it one extra Chocky Top?
Oh, hard to say. It really is hard to say. It's an almost perfect film. Just can't quite describe that last little, you know, little bit more that it needed. Mm. It is the almost perfect film. I don't like saying it's a perfect film, but it is pretty damn close.
Yeah, and you're better off not to say 5 out of 5 because the next movie you'll go, oh, that's 6 out of 5. So you're better off to go that. So, yeah, well, you've sold me, Zane.
I don't want to get controversial.
Now, we love controversy on this podcast, Zane. Never never a dull moment with some controversy here. Usually it's Mr.
That's
Lee.
True. Anyway, thank you so much, Zane. We really appreciate you going off and watching this movie for us. We'll have to have you back on in the near future to watch another and review another movie for us.
Oh, absolutely. Look forward to hanging out with my favourite duo.
Oh, there it is again.
This guy's good. He's got it in twice.
Oh. I love this guy. He's back. He's a good guy, and he did our and well done too because Zane did our ad, didn't he? He put together our little ad on the screen and whatnot, which looks really good. Yeah, well done, Zane.
Yeah, because he's got a little production company, so it's really good. Do you want to give a shout out to your production company, Zane?
One man production company.
Oh, he's a one man. Oh, that's good. I love that. This gets even better. There's nothing Zane can't do, mate. He's all over it. So,
he is.
Mate, well, thank you so much for joining us, Zane. Take it easy, man. We'll catch you again soon.
All right, see ya. Love you guys.
Thanks.
Love Bye. You too, mate. Love you too. Mr. Lee, before we go, now we've got another Talk and Flicks the next week. We're doing The Naked Gun next week, which is great.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this one because we've got Liam Neeson in this one, not Leslie Nelson. We've got Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, who I've heard now they're a couple.
Yeah, Liam and Pammy. Wow.
Yeah, which that shocked me, but anyway. So we're going to talk about that one next Wednesday for our Talking Flickster. So looking forward to
next
that.
Next Wednesday at midday.
And, yes, at midday. So you can eat your lunch while you listen to us. And we'll be back on Friday. God, I'm mixed up all my days. We've been doing this too many this week.
Do you want to hook anything for Friday before we go? Do you want to?
Oh, just a quick hook. Okay. I've got some news about a dog. And it's called Good Boy. And it could be not what you're thinking, JT. Not a little lovey-dovey type movie.
I'm sorry, but you didn't sell it to me, so.
You didn't? Oh, no. Okay. Well, okay. It's a horror. Does that sell it to you now?
It's getting better. It's getting better.
Okay.
Yeah. Better. Now, I've also rated your CD collection, Mr. Lee. I've taken the Polka CD today. It's like this.
Yeah. I do like it. I just don't like you going through my CD collection.
I'm finding some shockers in there.
Oh, you are. They're meant to be hidden.
When you pull up at the lights in Tamworth, Bridge Street, make sure you put the window up while you're playing this, Mr. Lee, okay? You might get frowned upon. Okay. We're getting out of here. We'll catch you at midday on Friday. In the meantime, enjoy this.
Thanks.
Want to be our next Talking Flickster? Register now at forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.